Good afternoon. Let's call the Senate Transportation Committee to order. Let the record reflect it is currently 1:43 p.m. Thursday, February 3rd, 2022. Present today, we have Vice Chair Schauer, Senator Machicki, Senator Keel, and of course myself, Chair Myers. That gives us a quorum to conduct business. Staff in the committee today is Nancy Hemingway from Senate Records, as always. Talia has joined us as our moderator today. And of course, keeping me on the straight and narrow is Michaela Anderson, my committee aide. At least attempting to keep me on the straight and narrow. Quick reminder, of course, please silence your cell phones for the duration. At this time, we will be hearing HB 87, Electric Assisted Bicycles, from Representative Wool. This is our first time hearing this bill. The plan today is to hear the bill, take public testimony, and most likely move the bill from committee today. With that, I'd like to welcome Representative Wool and his staff, Ashley Carrick, to the table to present the bill and respond to any questions from the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the Senate Transportation Committee. My name is Representative Adam Wool from District 5 in Fairbanks, and with you is my staffer, Ashley Carrick. Thank you for allowing us to present HB 87, Electric Assisted Bicycles, to this committee. I'll give a quick synopsis of what the bill does, and Ms. Carrick will go over the bill sectional and the slideshow for the bill. People say, what does this bill do and why do we need it? This bill basically just defines electric bicycles in statute. Currently, there is no formal definition, and because of that, electric bicycles could fall into many categories: electric personal vehicles, motor vehicles, or motor-driven cycles, to name a few. My reason I have this bill and came up with it is because a former employee of mine called me one day and said he was driving home from work on his electric-assisted bicycle and was pulled over by a police officer, and they asked for his license, which he doesn't have. He doesn't have a driver's license, and they said, well, you can't drive this vehicle home because it's motorized. And even though that may have been an incorrect interpretation, the desire here is to get a defined definition of electric bicycle in statute. Currently, 46 states now define e-bikes in statute, and 37 use the three-tiered system that's used in this bill. So we would be in compliance with a large number of states and would use the same language. It helps in the manufacturers, how they label the bicycles, the retailers, how they sell them, and so on. So I think this bill is good. It's necessary, and it'll make things simpler for law enforcement, for riders and sellers of electric bicycles. Of course, local municipalities can make their own rules governing the use of e-bikes, whether they want to allow them on so-called bike trails, and that's up to the municipality. The municipality of Anchorage has a e-bike ordinance on the books, and they use the three-tier system as well. We can get into the definitions of power and size and so on, but I'll let Ms. Carrick take over and do the sectional and the slideshow.
Good afternoon. For the record, Ashley Carrick, staff to Representative Wool. And just going through the sectional very briefly, Section 1 of this bill amends statute to say that the definition of motor vehicles excludes e-bikes. Section 2 says that bicycles or electric-assisted bicycles are to be regulated as bicycles in regards to current regulation and law. Section 3 says that electric-assisted bicycles should also be regulated as bicycles in regards to rules of the road, and that existing and future municipal ordinances are allowed to separately regulate both bicycles and electric-assisted bicycles. Section 4 states that electric-assisted bicycles are not required to be registered the way a motor vehicle is required. Sections 5 through 8 of this sectional just describe things that an e-bike is not, including an electric personal motor vehicle, a motorcycle, and a motor-driven cycle. And we'll have a couple of photos in the slide deck to show what we're talking about when we say what an e-bike is not. And then in Section 10, if I might be able to skip Section 9 very briefly, Section 9 describes what an e-bike is for a basic definition, which is a bicycle that's designed to travel with no more than three wheels in contact with the ground, with fully operating pedals, and having a motor which has an output of not more than 750 watts or about one horsepower. And moving back to section 8 of this sectional, this states that an e-bike has further classifications, and we amended this bill in the House last year to add this three-tiered system. This was upon the recommendation of both the committee members we worked with and also from the industry. So these are the industry standard definitions for Class 1, Class 2, and Class 3 electric bicycles. And then finally, the last section of this sectional just states that has some conforming language to say that anywhere in statute where bicycling or references to bicycles are mentioned, that electric-assisted bicycles will fit within those existing statutes. So if it's all right with the committee, we do have a brief presentation as well to kind of walk through some of the main points of the bill.
Please do.
Thank you. Through the chair, on slide 2 of our slide deck, these are the three main goals of HB 87. One goal is to regulate electric-assisted bicycles as bicycles. As Representative Wool mentioned, there is a lack of clarity in statute currently as to how to approach e-bikes, and just making sure that we're saying these are bikes and not motor vehicles. Secondly, we wanted to update statute to reflect technological advances. Of course, when bicycles were initially referenced in state statutes, we didn't have electric bicycles yet. And e-bikes are definitely an emerging industry for both recreation and transportation. So this bill reflects that change. And then finally, this brings clarity to both consumers and retailers on our e-bike laws and what we call an e-bike and how they are to be regulated. So this next slide just shows the definition for e-bikes that we would be adding with this bill. The main points are described at the top. A bicycle, again, that has no more than three wheels in contact with the ground, fully operating pedals, and has an electric motor not to exceed one horsepower. And then at the, as I mentioned, at the advice and insistence of our former committee hearings and our industry partners who have worked with us on crafting this legislation, we added the further definition of classes, class one, class two, and class three. Which are described there. But each one of these classes are to be defined as e-bikes. And then this next slide just shows a state-by-state map. There are 46 states, as Representative Wool mentioned, that have this three-tier class system, the same as what we're trying to add into statute. There's 46 states that have a definition for electric bicycles, and there's 37 states which have the model definition, which is those green states. So you can see that just a couple of states, including Alaska, have this lack of clarity in state law. And I just added this slide for further clarity of what an e-bike is not. We get a lot of questions about, what about this? Is this an e-bike? Is this an e-bike? And every single one of the items pictured and listed there are defined elsewhere in statute and are a different definition. So mopeds, motor scooters, dirt bikes, segways, motorcycles, of course, motor vehicles and cars, and electric wheelchairs, all of these have separate definitions in statute. And this definition that we would be adding for electric bicycles doesn't allow for any of these other items to be confused. So again, e-bikes must have fully operative pedals, which none of these items pictured do, and they must also have an engine of not more than 750 watts, which none of these items do. So, and then this next slide shows an example of what an electric-assisted bicycle can look like. On this photo, you see the battery is actually on the outside of the bike frame, so it's visible. A lot of e-bikes nowadays, even since we had started pushing this legislation, have actually evolved even since then to have the batteries on the inside of the cage. So it can be a little bit less obvious with some of the current e-bikes on the market. But you can see that, as with this example, electric bicycles will have a motor and they will still have operating pedals. And that's all that we have for a presentation, and happy to take any questions from the committee.
All right. Any questions on board? Senator Michicki.
Yeah, thanks for bringing this forward. I think I can see the confusion, and I have test driven a couple and I have my eye on one. I don't like hills as much as I used to. But I'm wondering, so we can't affect federal law who consider e-bikes as motorized vehicles. What do you see that as being an issue in our many federal parks in the state of Alaska? Have you spoken to the feds on how they will regard, even though the state defines them as being a bicycle, regulated as a bicycle, which is essentially unregulated, versus them calling them a motorized vehicle on federal trails?
Through the chair to Senator Michicki, we had looked into that in the previous version of this bill, and I assume the answer is probably still similar. As regards national parks was the example we brought up. So if you wanted to, say, ride down the Denali Park Road, right now there wouldn't be any issue with that because electric bikes are considered non-motorized for national park systems. In terms of other federal lands and requirements, that would be something we'd have to follow up on.
All right. We'll go with Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks for the presentation. Thanks for the bill. I guess two questions. I see that the way the bill's laid out, the public safety commissioner can't keep e-bikes off the sidewalk, bike path. They got to treat them like a bicycle. Does that same limitation apply to DNR? So, for instance, state parks or some of the trails right here close in around town, in Juneau that are on state land?
Through the chair to Senator Keel, could you repeat that one more time?
So, I'll try and wander less with it. The way the bill's written, an e-bike's allowed on the same bike path and sidewalk as any bicycle is. How about DNR trails that are not improved, not paved? Could DNR in a state park or general state land where there's a trail they manage distinguish between e-bikes and pedal-only bikes?
Through the chair to Senator Keel, yes, they can. So essentially what we would be doing is saying e-bikes are bikes. So however DNR chooses to regulate bicycles would apply for e-bikes as well. If a municipality or DNR wanted to say, this is the wattage output that you need to not go over the threshold for to be considered non-motorized, they may have to amend their current regulation or definition to exclude electric bicycles if they wanted to do that on a non-motorized trail. But they would have the power and ability to do that.
Senator Keel.
Thank you. That makes sense. Some of the trails get some pretty tight switchbacks on them sometimes and big crowds. I wanted to just drill down a little bit more. There was a reference to local control in a municipality and a mention of an Anchorage ordinance. I don't think any of my communities have them. Is that what we're talking about with the different classes of e-bikes? Is that a tool that municipalities can use? Explain to me a little bit how the local control works.
Yeah, through the chair to Senator Keel. So the class system is really an industry standard. So most bicycles are sold as class one, class two, or class three bicycles. And so it's not just useful to the industry, but it could also be useful to municipalities if they wanted to, say, limit out class two bicycles, which are a little bit higher maximum mile per hour. If they wanted to do that, they would still have the control to do that at the municipal level.
Thank you.
If I may, through the chair to Senator Keel, and Ms. Carrick will correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe some of the national parks allow certain classes of e-bikes, but not all three. And two of the classes require active pedaling to propel. The class two, there's a certain amount of speed you can get just from throttle only. And I believe some of the federal parks don't allow that type. However, it's hard to enforce because they all look the same. The only way you can tell is if someone's moving without pedaling. But and municipalities can impose their own restrictions, say this trail's for bicycles and e-bikes, and this trail, no e-bikes allowed, if they wish to. Anchorage hasn't done that, but their statute, their ordinance basically is the same as this one, which defines the three classes.
Thank you, Representative Wall. So going kind of taking off on your comment a little bit about how they all kind of look the same, given that in this state we've got a lot of people that love to tinker, and I imagine that somebody may try to slip something through a little bit. What happens if the motor gets switched out, or maybe they buy it off the shelf with a larger motor so it's larger than one horsepower? What would the classification be?
To the chair, I think if you were to make a change to the three classes and say put in a larger motor, then you'd be into a different kind of motor vehicle. And there are personal motor vehicles or motor-driven cycles that are larger, like a mini bike, which many of you are probably familiar with, has a gas-powered engine of a certain horsepower, and a larger electric motor would probably fit into that category as well. So then you couldn't really legally ride it as you would a bicycle. I mean, it might be tricky to enforce. It's similar to if someone modifies their car and you know, changes their exhaust system or removes an anti-pollution device. It's hard to enforce, but it is against the law, and would you couldn't operate it as a bicycle if you put a larger motor on it.
Understood. All right. Any other questions? Senator Schauer.
Mr. Chair, just have to think on this one a little bit. Could you back up your slides, one or two, where you had all the vehicles up there, the pictures, that one? So the reason I asked is based on your story, Representative, was, you know, your member got pulled over and it wasn't defined and they could have that. While we are not India or China or a place with a billion people, having spent a lot of time in those places, if you have not visited those, you would be amazed at how many people and how many injuries they have on bicycles, whether electric, not electric, mopeds. I'm usually surprised that I survived the ride from the airport to the hotel without getting hit 100 times or running somebody over, and they die a lot. It's pretty amazing. You just don't hear about it unless you're there. The reason I'm asking is that, and talking about it, is from a perspective of regulating or not, as Senator Myers alluded to, there is the possibility of these being on the road, being driven, based on, and I see the differences of classes, and you have, you know, different classes of speed and injury thresholds and power. I want to think, I'm going to have to think about this one a little bit about the regulation side of it because of what I have seen in other places where these end up in that flow of traffic. And perhaps it should be pushed to the lowest level, that a local municipality should control that based on their conditions. And why I said, I know we're not Mumbai, India, with, you know, there's more people in probably a 1 mile radius of downtown Mumbai than the entire state of Alaska. It is something that I want to make sure that we are not opening up a class or a category of something where we're going to find that we make it a problem for localities as it becomes, because of your own statement, more popular, more people are doing it, and then we're going to end up with a bunch of them. It's the same problem we're having with snow machines and ATVs on the roads. And do we regulate them? Do we not? You know, what do you do with this to make sure that at least there is training and awareness of what needs to happen? So I understand the problem, and I do appreciate the bill and the attempt to clarify it. I just want to put a little more thought into it, Mr. Chair. And you may have thought about this, Rep. You're welcome to comment. I guess it's more of a comment, and I'm going to have to think through that because of the things I have seen. So there can be some windows here that we might want to make sure are pretty tight, and I'll come maybe see you and talk about it. So, Mr. Chairman, I apologize. I'm not sure there's really a question there for him on this one. There's just some – I have a couple concerns about that with the things of how it's burgeoning, and I'll come to see you offline about it. Thank you.
Sure. And if I may comment through the chair to Senator Schauer, I share your concern, and I've been to large cities in Asia and elsewhere where there's a lot of traffic and bicycles and motorbikes and all that stuff. I think one thing is by defining e-bikes basically as bicycles, they have to follow our rules and regs of bicycles. And bicycles are supposed to, by law and regulation, be on the side of the road. They are not to be down in the middle of the traffic. The 28 miles per hour, which is the class 3, with pedaling, maximum it can go with pedal assist is 28 miles per hour. So even this thing at full crank is pretty slow compared to a lot of roads. So the temptation to ride in the middle of traffic hopefully won't be there. And like I said, they're obligated to stay on the side of the road. Occasionally you see a bicycle, a good bicycle rider will go pretty fast and you know, get in traffic, especially in cities, like these bicycle messenger guys that can kind of weave in and out of cars, especially if traffic's not moving that well. Alaska doesn't really have that kind of congested urban auto traffic that bicycles can weave for the most part, but it is there. The speed, although it's not that fast, is of concern, and you can get this speed more easily than you can on a regular bicycle. But certainly regular bicycles going downhill can go pretty fast, and there are accidents that we all try to avoid. I guess I'm just saying if you treat it like a bicycle, it should be off to the side of the road and operate as the same rules as a bicycle. But I do understand your concern.
I'm not suggesting stopping it or anything to that effect today. I just want to talk to you offline. There may be a couple things here and there may be a really simple answer or maybe just a one line or something. So we'll see it again. That's fine. I just want to make that clear. It generated a couple interesting questions for me today looking at it. So thank you.
A little bit along those lines, with a speed of maximum speed of 28, just remembering from my own time from when I was commuting on a bicycle a lot, my maximum speed was probably around 15 or so, maybe a little more if I was downhill. And when you're at those speeds where a normal bicycle, speed is not generally a factor unless you're running into a tree. But I can think once we start getting up into that above 20 mile an hour range, then we start talking about things like school zones and the like. And if we're regulating as a bicycle rather than as a motor vehicle, I have to wonder exactly how that's going to operate, how they work together.
To the chair, I guess if you're on a bicycle and you're exceeding the road speed limit, then you're breaking a traffic law. And same reason bicycles have to stop at red lights and stop signs. You can't just roll right through traffic. I don't know. I mean, it's all relative, I guess, on the speed. I mean, a fast player in the NFL running down the field is in the 20s, 21, 22 miles per hour running. So I think 28 isn't that excessive. It's faster than a sprinter, but it's certainly attainable on a regular bicycle now of someone on a decent bike going at a pretty good clip. So I don't know. I as far as speeding and traffic laws, I think they have to be considerate, just like a bicycle would be considerate and not go too fast for the conditions.
Thank you. Senator Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess just to echo what the sponsor said, I mean, when a bicycle is in the traffic lanes, not the sidewalk of the bike path, but in the road, other than being required to remain to the side to the extent possible, they're subject to all the rules of the road that a car is. They have the same rights of way, including the speed limits, as the police officer in 1993 told me in Anchorage when he clocked me doing 23 in the school zone. I got off with a warning. So I guess goes to my thoughts on Senator Schauer's comment. As a baseline, you're allowed to ride a bike in a road. These would be in most cases faster than a pedal-driven bicyclist and a little better able to keep with the flow. My concerns about safety were on the sidewalks and the bike paths where there'd be pedestrians. And I think the sponsor has spoken pretty well to the local control there on that.
Sure.
Just a quick question, Rip, or anybody knows the answer. Just generate because of this discussion right here. Now I just want to know. I never thought about it. If a bike's on a road and an e-bike was now bike, and related to your story of, you know, getting pulled over and, you know, whatever, the officer then writing a ticket saying you can't drive it home because of the conditions, things like drinking and being on a bicycle on a public roadway, are you still, can you still get a ticket? I never thought about that. Like on a bicycle, I've seen like people on a lawnmower get pulled over and being drunk off their minds, and they actually get a ticket and they arrest them and whatever, depending on what the cop decides to do. But is that something that would apply to a bike or an e-bike as well if they were on the road system and the same laws? I've literally never thought of that. I have no idea. Does anybody know?
Chair to center shower. Yeah, we definitely have had this discussion before and looked into it. Operating a motor vehicle on a public roadway intoxicated is a DUI, whether it's a snow machine, a lawnmower, or what have you. A bicycle is not a motor vehicle, but if you are operating it in public drunk, it's not a DUI, but it is a violation for public
endangerment.
Something. Everyone knows the answer. public endangerment or there's probably a number of things, but it is illegal to be riding a bicycle drunk. But it's not you're not operating a motor vehicle.
I understand. Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to know because it kind of does get into the category of what does this, is there a unintended consequence somewhere, or something that might come out of it. So thank you.
And this bill has definitely generated a lot of conversation. And one other comment I'd like to make that sort of came up, and Senator Michicki alluded to it a little bit, which was he doesn't like going up hills as much as he used to, and e-bike is helpful. And a lot of what e-bikes do isn't so much how fast can I go, I got to go maximum speed. It's really just assisting you pedal, and you can go even at a slow speed with less effort. And it helps a lot of people that maybe don't want to commute 10 miles or live up the top of a hill and want to ride home at the end of a workday. And the e-bike will let them do that. And you're looking up here as I was hiking on Perseverance Trail last year, and this is another common use of e-bikes. Is for mountain bikers, and they'll ride up the hill using the assist, and then they ride down the hill as they would a regular mountain bike trail, just mostly using the brakes, and then ride up again, and they can do multiple laps that way. So the motorized bicycle just makes it easier to get up the hill. They're not necessarily going fast. They just get up more easily.
All right. Thank you. Senator Michicki.
Yeah, I think this comes to the conversation that the government can't control bad behavior or good behavior through regulation. People are going to have to take their own personal responsibility on being responsible in school zones when they're in congested areas. E-bikes are not particularly fast. They are, in my view, just from the ones I've ridden, are sort of a normal bicycle speed that is assisted. So, when you talked about 15, I think you should think about that a comfortable bike ride is in the 10-mile-an-hour range, right? So when you're coming down a hill, if you think it's 15, it's likely much faster than that without any assistance. So the electrical-assisted stop, most of the electrical assist, maybe all stop assisting at those higher speeds. To me, I think this makes sense. I think it's going to get a lot more people out on bikes for longer rides, which I think is healthy. I think if you're irresponsible with a bicycle, you're going to continue to be irresponsible with a bicycle or an electric bicycle. I think this makes sense to kind of clarify the fact that an electric bike is simply an assisted bike, but it should be regulated like a bicycle. I agree with it. I think they're cool. I think I'm going to go a lot further than I normally would, particularly in areas in my community where there are a lot of hills. Hills are good. Good for your quads. About two-thirds of the way up, they're not as good as they once were. And anyway, I just wanted to put a little sort of common sense to the discussion. You're no matter what rules you put out there, numbskulls are going to continue to be numbskulls, right?
Okay, sure. All right. Senator Bishop.
Mr. Carrick, is this bill effective as soon if it's passed? Is that the effective date immediately?
Through the chair to Senator Bishop, that is my understanding, is it's effective immediately.
Okay. I just didn't see that in the...
I think because it's a definition bill, it's just the definition is just added as soon as the bill passes.
But we're assuming it's going to be effective as soon as the bill's passed.
9 days.
And through the chair, Senator Bishop, we can double check that.
All righty. Seeing no further questions, I did see we had a couple of people waiting online for questions just in case. Mr. Alex Longeman and Mr. Jeffrey Schmitz from the director of DMV. And it looks like, I believe Mr. Longeman actually has a presentation. Okay. So, Mr. Longeman, if you can hear me.
Hello, this is Alex Longeman with People for Bikes.
Yep. Mr. Longeman, thank you. If you could go ahead and present your testimony.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, thank you to Representative Wool and Ms. Carrick for all of their work on this piece of legislation. We're very grateful for their support and everything they've done so far to help advance this, and did a very excellent job presenting the bill. So I'll just try to keep my remarks short and hone in on a couple issues that were raised during the questions that I think I could be helpful with. First, just a quick note on who we are. The People for Bikes Coalition is the trade association for the U.S. bicycle business. We represent suppliers, manufacturers, distributors of bicycle products in the United States, including electric bicycles. And we've been very active in the e-bike policy space for about 8 years now, working on bills similar to this one before you in Alaska, and also working on e-bike issues in the federal level. We are very firmly in support of this bill. This is a pro-industry regulatory framework that we very much support. A couple of quick comments on some recent developments and questions that were raised about federal law. The three-class system that is in House Bill 87 has actually been adopted into our federal funding statutes now, which regulate the types of vehicles that have motors but are allowed on facilities that have been built with federal non-motorized funding. So aligning state law with the federal law in this respect is very helpful, as the state and local governments can have some security that when they allow e-bikes on their paths, they won't be having any issues related to the use of non-motorized federal funding. So this is very much in alignment with federal law in this respect. Another set of questions that came up before was how federal land management agencies are regulating e-bikes. Four agencies within the Department of the Interior utilize the three-class system to regulate e-bikes on lands under their jurisdiction. Those are National Park Service, the Bureau of Land Management, the Fish and Wildlife Service, and the Bureau of Reclamation. So House Bill 87 is very much consistent with their framework for regulating e-bikes. The Forest Service still does not have a specific electric bicycle regulatory framework. They treat electric bicycles as a motorized use, and therefore e-bikes on Forest Service lands are limited strictly to motorized trails. And in our view, this bill doesn't do anything to change that. Folks still need to abide by the Forest Service regulations when they're on Forest Service lands. With that, again, we very much support this bill, and again, thank you to Representative Wolf for carrying it, and I'm happy to stand for questions, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Longeman. Seeing no questions from the committee, appreciate your testimony. Mr. Schmitz, I see you listed as just for questions instead of rather than testimony. Did you have anything to add?
Hello, Chairman and the committee members. Yes, for the record, my name is Jeffrey Schmitz. I'm the director of Alaska DMV. I was asked to be here and be available for questions. And so that's what my participation here is today. So if you have any questions for me, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you, Mr. Schmitz. I don't see any at the moment. So moving on, I believe. All right. Well, appreciate the presentation. We'll go ahead and open public testimony on HB 87. Is there anyone on the room who would like to testify on HB 87? Seeing none, is there anyone online who'd like to testify? Public testimony. Seeing none, we will close public testimony. Thank you. Anyone wish to offer any amendments on this bill right now? Nope. Okay. Thank you very much. Representative Wool, did you have any further comments?
Well, I'd like to thank the chair and the members of the committee for hearing this bill. I think it's, as you can see, almost every state in the country has some sort of e-bike statute on the books and defines e-bikes. as bicycles, and even much of the federal government as well, too. So I think it's its time is here, and hopefully this bill can become law soon.
All right. Thank you. With that, Senator Showard, you have the will of the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move Senate Bill 87, Work Order 32-LS0397/Bravo, with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Seeing no objection, HB 87 moves from the committee. We'll take a quickie at ease to do the paperwork. All right, back on the record here. Seeing no other business before the committee, that'll conclude our meeting for today. Next meeting is Tuesday, February 8th. We'll be hearing a presentation from the Pacific Northwest Economic Region, and we'll also be hearing and moving out SB 150, Truck Driver Appreciation Day. Amendments for that will be due Monday, February 7th at noon. With that, we are adjourned at 2:21 p.m.